Welcome to the Voices of the West, hosted by Emil Franzi and dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Voices of the West. I'm one of your hosts, Joe Dreyfus. I'm off to my left is my favorite Basque sheep herder out of New Mexico, Bunker de France, and...
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome, sir. And the pirate of TUSD.
I am.
The one, the only, the original, Harry Alexander, and on the telephone, coming to us from Prune Pickerville, is none other than our very dear and beloved friend, Todd Roberts. Todd, how are you, buddy?
I'm well. Let's make a small correction. They're plums, but nonetheless, it's okay.
By the time your legislature gets done with anything, it's prunes.
Hey, Todd, I want to bring you up to date. My esteemed colleague on the right, Joe Dreyfus, has a new honorum or title, and that is the Gabby Hayes of Cochise County.
Thank you very much. I resemble that remark now because I raised daughters.
Yeah, you're right.
The sheriff is coming. Did he say the sheriff is coming? No, the sheriff is near. That he said the sheriff is near. Start the band. No.
Really? Okay. I think the sheriff just done gone fast by. I think
is that before beard or after beard?
Well, the one thing I
in beard.
It takes. You know, they got it. I'm so good that they got to double team me just to try and keep.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we don't really have any specific topic to talk about. For this program, we're just going to sit here, shoot the breeze, and hope you will enjoy whatever it is that we've got to say. And I understand Joe has a particular topic.
He's got his hand up.
He's got his hand up, so I guess we have a topic that we're going to be talking about. Why don't you go there, Mr. Dreyfus?
Well, let's saddle up. Let's do a little Southern Arizona history here.
Okay.
When my grandparents owned what is now the Catalina State Park, which was part of the Romero Ranch. They had a 36-section lease going from the bottom clear to the top of Romero Pass. And this was pre-Forest Service. My grandparents burned off part of the Catalina Mountains every year.
Mm-hmm.
Some pastures they wouldn't burn off, but the others they did.
That's called conservation, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. And I might add, my mother was...
The American Indians in the East did that so they could have hunting and game.
Going back to history, in line with Voices of the West, if you read the drover's logs, the last trail herd into Kansas City, if a representative did not go back and set the prairie on fire, the following year, if that same company brought in a herd, they were docked a nickel ahead.
And they wouldn't have the herd wouldn't have enough to eat.
Right.
And, you know, the buffalo did not go back to a burn area for a year because they would let that, you know, the undergrass start growing.
Well, let me make a point, and Todd, you can back me up on this. Harrison Ford went on TV one time. I'll never forget. I was cussing, throwing stuff at the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was... in the era of livestock free by 93 and all the environmental stuff. And he said, well, I bought a ranch in Colorado, and we pulled the cattle off, and within 3 weeks I had elk. Well, okay, range science 101. The cattle eat off the really tough top plant. Plants rejuvenate, and in 19 days, generally on average, the new shoots come up through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the elk are in there harvesting the very tender shoots.
Well,
you can move elk. I've got a friend in northern Arizona that he can tell you when the elk are going to be in a pasture by the day that he moves his cattle.
Yeah. Well, we've seen evidence of – go ahead, Todd.
I was just going to say, to Joe's point, only making it even more pointed, is the fact that on average in Yellowstone, an average of 7,000 elk die every year of starvation. I'm not surprised that he pulled his cattle off and they went out and those elk that showed up on his land 19 days later went out and found food. You know, how many times have we heard stories of little children being left at home by their parents who are irresponsible and don't deserve to be parents? And, you know, 6-7-year-old kids leave the house and go find food. Mm-hmm. They find it. If you're hungry enough, you're going to go find it. It's mm-hmm. not a big accomplishment on Mr. Ford's part to say that, you know, he pulled out his cattle and all of a sudden these elk showed up. They're starving to death. 7,000 of them a year die. Jim Zumbo is the one who told me that, the great hunter, author, and wild game chef. And more than once he said to me, he told me the story that how many times he has literally sat with a dying elk cow, watching it literally take its last breaths from starvation as he sat with it. And he said, now that elk didn't know me, but I just kind of felt as I would with any breathing being to sit there with it and let it and you know kind of let it know it wasn't alone as it exited.
So
many people are completely oblivious to what's going on and what their surroundings are.
If I
bought a ranch, it'd take me 5 years before I ever opened my mouth to anyone.
Take you years just to learn how to get the gates open.
Yeah, we've seen evidence of what fire does and how good fire is, especially down by the Empire Ranch in southeast Arizona. That the fire that was there, sawmill fire, a couple weeks back. It burned some of the acreage near the ranch or on the ranch actually. But in my travel down there last week. Was that the last week we were down there? You could see that it was the growth has already started, and the animals are coming back. Sally Reichardt shot some whitetail that have already invaded the area.
The interesting thing, too, is down there, when you get down there and you see the so-called riparian area down there, which if you go back to the photos of the early 1800s, wasn't there.
Right.
All these cottonwoods came in the early 1900s because they were planted. And a good portion of them were killed off. That place is going to be closer to what it should be than what it is, what was before the fire.
And that's supposed to be the motto of the Park Service, state as well as federal Park Service. At least it was in the Park Service I worked for in Florida. And that was that you were supposed to try and keep the lands as they were prior to when Europeans arrived. And, you know, it's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned.
Well, now, to get to my point, my entire life, and I'm now 65 years old, while my mother was alive, every year she would rave and rave about the Forest Service doesn't know what they're setting my mountain up for.
Mm-hmm.
They have not burned anything. They're stopping every good fire. And finally, when it reaches a certain critical mass, when it does catch, it's going to toast everything from up there clear to the desert floor, which, okay, she was dying of cancer during the Bullock fire, and it burned half the mountain. And I'll never forget, I was sitting with her, and I said, well, your prediction has come to fruition. And she said, no, baby, I won't be here next year. But she said, trust me, somehow, some way, the other half's going to burn. But then she made the point, which I think is so unique about our current fire, the Burrow fire. She said, the morons are going to have all that downfall timber and all that trash that, you know, went through the fire. It's going to fall over. And she said, they're not going to have enough sense to go back in there during the wintertime and reburn that stuff off and clean up the mountain.
And stabilize it.
And so I'm watching the reports on the Burrow fire. And what do they say? Well, we're having a really hard time controlling this fire because the debris left over from Bullock fire and the Alpine fire are hindering our personnel. Now, they've had over a decade to go back in there in the wintertime and clean all that up, And so if you look at the maps of the Burrell Fire, you know what it's following?
Yeah.
The same exact path.
Yeah.
Yeah. As the Bullock and Alpine.
Yeah. Well, first off, let's not blame the underlings in any of the park services, because the ground grunts know what's supposed to happen. It's the supervisors, the bureaucrats, the GS-25000s that think they know the best.
It's the established 40-year-old policies that don't work.
Well, yeah, but see, on the flip side, and here's the issue I have, it sends me over the edge. Hey, guess what? We're in the Sonoran Desert here. In the east, if they have a fire and they've got downfall, with the amount of moisture that they have in that area, yes, those logs rot out and just
mm-hmm. come back.
I mean, in Oregon, I mean, it's 2 years. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. Here on our dry desert, those things can lay around there for about 40 years.
Or longer.
Okay? Yeah. And you know, because it's dry, they don't get enough moisture to really start a massive rot. A few of them will up on top, but not that many. And so here we are. You've got some moron from back east setting policy mm-hmm. for the desert. They're not the same. You don't manage an environment in the desert like you would in the woods of Oregon.
Of course not.
Or even in parts of New Mexico.
Of course not.
You know, here's the thing, too. You think about this. You can no longer have labor gangs for people in prison, you know, hard labor. Now, their biggest excuse is, well, we don't have the funding. We can't do this. Well, you have a labor pool of people who have no regards for the law.
Mm-hmm.
And why can't the old chain gang system be reinstated? Because it'll do two things. It'll give these guys something to do besides sit around TV and plot when they get out. The other thing is you get those areas cleaned up, and then some of these guys are going to go, you know what, this was pretty hard-ass work. I don't want to come back to prison and have to do this again.
Yeah.
And some of those guys are going to go, you know what, I like making this contribution. I think I'm going to be a firefighter.
Todd, what have you experienced with the California wildfires?
Well, I have to be honest with you, and I say that I do not say this in jest, that it's beyond me that there's something that California understands that Arizona does not, or at least the powers that be in the respective states, because constantly in this state they're talking about controlled burns. They're mm-hmm. doing them all the time. They're on the news. They talk about them. I mean, you almost think they talk about it in such a way that you think they're selling tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'll have a cooler and somebody serving watermelon so everybody can stand there and watch. I don't understand how is it that we do it here, but it's not going on in Arizona, number one. Number two, I would tell you that the craziness of this, again, comes from people, you're right, that are back east, that have never been west of the Mississippi, have no idea of the area, of any of the respected areas that they're talking about or working in. And there's and it also is mixed with a very, very dangerous amount of, shall I say, audacity. They're, mm-hmm. They're so full of themselves
naivety,
that they can't see straight.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
you know, it's the bleeding heart people of the world cause most of the problems for the bleeding heart people of the world.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah.
We got to go to a break. Hang on with us, Todd, because I got something to ask you after we come back.
This is an incendiary topic.
Okay.
Back when the West was very young, there lived a man named Masterson. He wore a cane and derby hat. They called him Bat, Bat Masterson. A man of steel.
You know, one way to really tell if you're at a restaurant that really cares about the food it serves, if it has one, check the bar. You don't have to be much of a drinker to know which liquors are quality. That's why you can tell that Highfalutin, that rapid-fire Western grill at 6780 North Oracle, just south of Ina, really takes pride in what it does, by the quality of the liquor it serves and the beer on tap. The choices at the bar are as broad as the menu at Highfalutin, and even the well drinks are more than acceptable, unlike some places where they just come with a barcode. If a restaurant doesn't care about the quality of its drinks, they've cut corners on the food. Highfalutin never has cut either and never will. Highfalutin, 6780 North Oracle, open daily for lunch and dinner with great sandwiches, salads, pastas, steaks, and comfort foods like pot roast and meatloaf, and even for an occasional drink.
Hi, this is Joe Mantegna. Every time my Uncle Willie tells me about his service in Patton's Third Army in World War II, I'm reminded of what we owe the U.S. Army. 14 generations of American soldiers who have courageously defended our nation. Their stories represent the best of America and should never be forgotten. Join me to help build the National Museum of the United States Army, a long overdue tribute to all American soldiers. To learn more, visit armyhistory.org.
Diamondback Shooting Sports, 7030 East Broadway, has expanded to one of the larger and more successful suppliers of shooting sports and outdoor equipment in town. Great prices on lots of guns from Armalite to Winchester, as well as many used and consignment firearms, ammo, holsters, and leather goods, targets, safes, knives, flashlights, and cleaning supplies. More than before, and now you get room to turn around. They added lots of new stuff at Diamondback, from some great clothing lines to a full-time gunsmithing department, and a wide variety of firearms and safety classes ranging from concealed carry to basic and advanced courses in pistol, rifle, and shotgun. If you haven't been to the new Diamondback just around the corner from the old store, it's time to check things out. Diamondback is open daily at 7030 East Broadway, 886-8338, and at dbackshootingsports.com. And they still have a full line of police duty gear.
And we're back with Bucker DeFrance, the illustrious Harry Alexander, and our very dear friend, Todd Roberts.
Must say that the music coming back was Ride the High Country. It's the feature film for the Empire Ranch Foundation, August 2nd in Tucson at the Loft Theater. Get your tickets at Eventbrite. Get them soon because seating is limited. Our special guest is going to be Joel McRae, the grandson of Wyatt McRae. I'm sorry, Wyatt McRae, the grandson of Joel McRae. You know, the print gets too close to the paper sometimes for me.
Yes, it does.
Well, I can't claim elder.
It's going to be more fun
you.
Than a sack full of squirrels.
I reckon.
You know, Todd, I worked the longest year of my life. I worked a year over in Hemet, California. And, you know, you alluded to something that I thought very special. Yes, all over California, even the extended state, Northern California, the continual management control burn, and I liken that to the fact that we've got an active forest service which works with production agriculture all over the state. Here in Tucson, in particular, and the southern part of Arizona, you're absolutely right. When they do a control burn, and this is an issue that I brought out in several of the government meetings, and of course I'm not the most diplomatic when I do the presentation. I always tell them the same thing. What kind of a moron would start a control fire in the state of Arizona in May when it's dried out from the winter rains, okay?
20-mile-an-hour winds.
20-mile-an-hour winds, and the temperature is rising. Why don't you people do your control burns in the month of October like they used to all over the state dating back to the 1800s. And I always get that deadpan look.
Yeah, December is supposed to be the best time to do any kind of conservation.
It's when
like
the moisture content is, and the humidity
cool.
is real.
You can control it.
Winds are down.
I have to tip my hat to the people over in, that are doing the burns over in California. I wish they'd come over here and give less.
Just for the sake of honoring us, I do have to say, though, that part of the reason that why California is so diligent is because so many of the communities are at fire risk. And because of that, you have the people in the communities going, hey, we want to be protected. Because you look up and down Santa Monica, when they get fires up there in the Santa Monica Mountains, I mean, high-end homes at high risk because they really burn up there. And part of the problem is when you get a home that burns up there, because I lived out there long enough, is you have people, their house looks like an elf's cottage with all the growth. Mm-hmm. Just it's buried in leaves and trees and vines.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's very fashionable to this ridiculous growth around your house.
The other thing in so many of those areas, for a generalized term, you've got that brushy chaparral-looking stuff. I don't know what in the world it was.
You've got manzanita all over the place.
Yeah, there. Well, okay, for instance, in Harry and I have discussed this, over on the other side of the Rincon Mountains in Happy Valley, there's about, what would you drive for about 5 miles, and there's nothing but manzanita so thick that white-tailed deer won't even crawl into it.
No.
I mean, I know because I tried to crawl into it on more than one occasion to check for tracks and beds and all that.
You can't even send a dog in there.
And I tell you what, if that ever catches fire,
here
in Tucson, we will not have to turn the lights on at night because the glow from the other side of the mountain
is going to be very bright.
Very bright. Yeah. But they don't do anything about it.
No.
And when pressed, and I questioned some of the supervisors there who don't like me very much.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I get that deadpan, I won't answer because you've got me. And
yeah,
they don't have an answer.
Right.
Got a pair at the party line, as it were. Hey, if you want to get in on this, listeners, can't take a phone call from you, but happy to respond via email, voicesofthewest@gmail.com. Send a comment or question, and we'll try and get it on for you.
You know, what do you think of that, Todd? I can get hate mail, not even be at home.
Well, you know.
What do you think, Todd?
It's usually how most of my relationships end, is through an email or a text. You know, it's just this, with very little emotion, and then there's no trying to decipher who's paying for the drinks.
Is it a dear family member?
That's part of our culture. That's kind of where we've ended up now in this world of living through our televisions and our computers and our cell phones. And, you know, the other day I was watching something and somebody was arguing with somebody who was a vegetarian, and they were talking about this and that, and the person who was a meat eater looked and said, you're so worried about, you know, being a vegetarian and caring for animals. Where do you think that belt and that purse and those shoes that you bought came from?
And the toothpaste and the medicine.
Like, with this horrified look that, oh, I'm found out.
Yeah, Joe and I did a show sometime back when he had the visit, and with 100 and some odd parts of the cow, and we went through each and every part of the cow that was used to make something.
Lipstick
for women.
Well, absolutely. Actually, the cowbells, which started here in Arizona, mm-hmm. and turned into, you know, National Cattle Women's Association, put down a list. They figured out a list, and it was quite fascinating. There's over 3,200 byproducts mm-hmm. of a cow that people have no, you know, the temper and steel.
Yeah.
The other one that I always love to point out to them, Todd, is, well, do you drive on a pavement every day And they, well, yeah. Well, guess what? 30% of the binders in that, when they put it down, is animal fat byproducts. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
Our quality yeah. of life, and then the big step that always sends them over the edge is I ask them, do you have a computer? And, well, yeah. Do you have a cell phone? Yeah. Well, guess what? The chips in those have to be manufactured with animal fat byproducts, not petroleum distillates, animal fat byproducts. So if it wasn't for a cow, we wouldn't have a computer.
Well, yeah, just think, in the bathroom, if you took all the animal byproducts out, all you'd be left with is toilet paper.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, people don't realize.
Yeah,
so,
unless you're in Cuba and then you're rereading the Este Dia Hoy. That's what happens to the newspaper
you
there.
But just
translate
kind of,
that for me.
Yeah, well,
it's the day now. The day as it is now.
We call it the Arizona Daily Star here.
Yeah, that's well. We call it the LA Times here in Los Angeles, which you know had a chance to be saved, but it preferred to go into bankruptcy and come out of bankruptcy on the other end. Leaving the Chicago Cubs owner who was bankrupt mm-hmm. and moving to some multinational corporation who mm-hmm. I heard an interview with one of the chief editors of the LA Times yesterday and he was just so proud, Dan Gummit, over the fact that, you know, we're here not to, you know, yeah, we're all liberals, but we don't have an agenda. Not one at all. I mean, we're here to report the news, uh-huh. by golly.
Whatever we can find to print.
Hey, Todd, can you tell me where is the Teddy Roosevelts of today, you know, the big conglomerate busters? That's what we need. We need every time I look at a paper, I see a huge, huge, huge multinational swallowing up another huge multinationals. It's going to be pretty soon, is that that's all there's going to be.
Well, AT&T is on the verge of buying AT&T is on the verge of buying CNN right now.
Yeah.
You know, which was part of Time Warner, which was a huge conglomerate, which was prior to that was Time Warner AOL, but then AOL fell apart. So now, you know, AOL took that Warner Brothers stock from $42 a share. I knew somebody that was at $42 a share, a Warner Brothers employee, and he decided it was time to reconsider that placement of all that money when it hit $9.
Hmm. Wow.
After they merged with AOL and Time Warner merged.
Hmm.
And you know all these geniuses that did that deal took these big bonuses and moved on, left the shareholders you know with tremendous deprivation and loss. And yeah, listen, we're all adults, we're all big boys and girls. We you know you put your money in the stock market, you might as well go to Vegas. I get it, but you also have a you know let's be honest, you have a sense of response. You should. If you don't, you should. Have a sense of responsibility to those people, and if you don't, you shouldn't be there.
That was the
because
old
that's
ethic.
The problem with them.
Yeah.
That's well, the problem with them. They don't have a sense of responsibility. They have a sense of responsibility to themselves. Let me get mine and get out.
Well, in all fairness, though, back in the old West, I mean, we saw those kinds of things happening. The mining companies that were headquartered back east, the cattle companies that were headquartered back east,
lumber companies.
Yeah, I mean, you
well,
know,
and as,
pick
as
your,
Chet,
the rails.
Monty Walsh and Chet Rollins say in Monty Walsh the film mm-hmm. the whole time.
Yeah.
Damn accountants.
Yeah.
Well, that was the English boys.
Yeah, and you're right, Harry, that we did see it. It's not new. The difference it is now is they're identifiable.
Fail.
They're a little more transparent, but, mm-hmm. You know, they're a little slicker in their presentation. In the old days, they just didn't care. Now,
well, they don't think they can
you know,
be
when
touched.
When they get caught,
too.
They let you know how much they care.
You know, I have a fascination. I have the Western Channel, and here we've got the right forum to ask this question. I always check where each Western is filmed.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of John Wayne's movies, and of course you were there on Monty Walsh, the property utilized was the Boquias Cattle Company, which had the San Pedro River going through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they dammed off the San Pedro because it was on private property to make a river across. I mean, they did that on four or five movies that mm-hmm. I can think of right now. But that connection between Hollywood and the Boquias, now that was owned at one time by William Randolph Hearst,
mm-hmm.
and then Tinoco Oil bought it up. And I often wondered, Todd, I mean, you know, the connections there, it's got to be some guys at a party and producers. Am I correct on that? Some of the producers saying, hey,
let's buy this.
can we use your ranch and film out there? Or how does that work?
I would tell you that it's a combination of both. You've got, you know, there's a, if you drive down the 5 to, on the way to Newport beyond Laguna, and you're south of that, off your, onto your east, you'll look up, and there are cows grazing to this day. And I was driving down to see a friend who lived in Laguna. I used to work with him, and I said, God, it was just beautiful drive, and I came on the way down here to see you, and I look up, and there are these cows, and I thought, that's really cool. You know, there's a working cattle ranch. And he looked at me, and he said, Todd, those guys are my clients. They only have those cows there so they can write them off. It's all a write-off. The whole
thing. It's okay. They employ good cowboys. You know, as long as my buddies, you know, my brethren, the ones like the ones that were murdered down there in Tombstone by the Herbs,
are
employed,
yeah.
You know, there we go. Hey, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Hang on with us, Todd.
Okay.
The phrase highfalutin has several definitions. Believed to have originated in the 1800s, it suggests a person who is pompous, full of self-importance. It's also defined as a person who's a stuffed shirt or stuck up. Nothing could be further from the truth about Highfalutin Rapid Fire Western Grill at 6780 North Oracle Road. It's not a stuck-up place and it comes nowhere near pompous. At Highfalutin Rapid Fire Western Grill, it simply means great food at even better prices for lunch and for dinner. Whatever you order at Highfalutin, I know your appetite will be satisfied. I know that because I eat there. Plus, Highfalutin features a great bar stocked with a variety of high-quality adult beverages. And talk about the service. Well, the well-trained and friendly servers at Highfalutin provide you with the best. So, for lunch or a great dinner, Highfalutin Rapid Fire Western Grill is the place to go. Highfalutin, just north of Orange Grove at 6780 North Oracle, 297-0518, and highfalutintucson.com.
Lenny's Truck and Auto, 622-7200, wants to know, is your check engine light on? The reason is, that's known in the industry as the Lenny's Light. They have expertise in handling electronic repairs. Oh, and if that check engine light is on, you can't run it through emissions. Of course, you can always test the tender mercies of the state-licensed emissions monopoly, but Lenny works on cars, not masochists. Their specialty electronic scanning equipment will read the codes generated by your check engine light and tell you just what parts need to be replaced, and more importantly, what parts don't need to be replaced. Lenny's at 622-7200. Is a Napa Auto Care facility carrying nationwide warranties on parts and labor with 85 years of combined experience, brakes, front end, and engine repair. Lenny's Truck and Auto, 622-7200, 622-7200.
The Empire Ranch Foundation presents our 7th Annual Summer Western Movie at the Loft Theater on Speedway on August 2nd. ride the high country.
In all the stirring legends of the frontier West, there is none as exciting as the reckless saga of the men who pushed the last outposts of civilization across the Sierra Nevadas. The men who ride the high country.
Ride the High Country from 1962 is one of director Sam Peckinpah's first films. It stars Randolph Scott, Joel McRae, and Marriott Hartley.
You add them all up, and I'd figure I was owed about all the gold we could carry out of these mountains.
There were few who could say who was bad and who was good.
The annual summer Western movie at the Loft is a fundraiser for the Empire Ranch Foundation. Proceeds go toward protecting and preserving the historic Empire Ranch in Southeast Arizona. Tickets are $15 for Foundation members, $20 for non-members. Tickets on sale at EmpireRanchFoundation.org through Eventbrite. The Empire Ranch Foundation presenting Ride the High Country with guest speaker Wyatt McRae. Wednesday, August 2nd. Doors open at 6 p.m.
Out of the clear blue of the western sky comes Sky King.
And we're back with Voices of the West with Bunker DeFrance, the illustrious Harry Alexander, and our very dear friend from California, Todd Roberts. You know, you just played at Sky King. Do you know it was... A lot of it was filmed up there on Empire.
Mm-hmm. You Sky, that. Look out for that mountain.
Yeah, yeah. There yeah. Still is a landing strip out there. And it's there's no tower or anything like that, but I mean, there's a landing strip out there.
And people occasionally land on it, legally and illegally.
Exactly. I mean, that's one of the when my flight simulator, that's one of the places I frequently fly.
Well, you know, speaking of flight, I want to mention something along the lines of our topic about the forest fires. During the Bureau fire and some of the other fires just recently, they had 12 incidents of these idiots flying their drones mm-hmm. into the fire area, which means they have to ground the tankers and the helicopters, mm-hmm. endangering everybody. And one guy got caught. I hope they bury him forever.
Take away his drone license. You got to have a FAA license now,
right.
To pilot those things. And the classification is very similar to lighter than air, mm-hmm. As one would get to fly a hot air balloon. But I mean, you know. That's just stupid.
And they need to get the regulations in now because you've got Amazon and all these other huge companies looking at drones as a way of delivery. You know, it's gonna look like the San Diego Freeway at 5 o'clock with all these damn drones
exactly.
out here.
Exactly.
What are the issues with the drones over in your part of the country, Todd?
Well, you've the same thing you're talking about, that fire up in the canyon that those two teenage boys started 2 years ago back, and that was way before the drone craze even came. Nothing compared to what we have today, and there were all these monkeys, which is my nice adjective for them, with their drones circling and taking those pictures from their drone, the film, and posting it on Facebook or selling it to news stations and so on. It's beyond selfish. It's selfish is not even a tenth of the right description for it, because it as you said, it hinders the rescue efforts, and the only people more selfish than those drone fools were the two boys who were basically up in the hills messing around, hiking around, and decided to play with some matches. I think they were lighting off firecrackers in the middle of the summer or something. And people lost their homes, and people lost their dogs and animals.
Well, that's okay. We had a Border Patrol agent. A Border Patrol agent here in Arizona.
Started the sawmill
fire.
Target
practicing. And shooting into, what do you call it, Harry, the explode?
I can't remember. Exploding target. Yeah, it's an exploding target. There's a chemical you can buy at Ace Hardware.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My wife won't let me have any.
And so I asked a Border Patrol agent, I said, okay, so your buddy started fire. I said, just tell me, is he from back east? So that guy, you know, there's a bunch of Border Patrolmen live out by me. So that guy leaves, and the guy's coming in off shift, and they carpool, and I said, okay, guys, I need to know. Your colleague that started this fire, you know, I was lucky enough to help my dear friends get their cattle out the week before, and my other 4-H kids, it burned their ranch, okay? So tell me, is this guy from back east? And finally, I got verification.
Hey, we got a email from a listener, David, who would like to know, could or would the Forest Service allow grazing on the Catalinas as opposed to controlled burns? He agrees that fires are important, but with all the liberal control, is this a reasonable possibility? What do you think?
Well, here's the issue.
And there's another part to the question as well after you.
Okay, here's one of the issues. We do have some grazing on the backside and on the east side. Here in urban Dwellerville, the last guy to graze up there in the Tucson side was Francis Nagy. And he relinquished his leases and his mining claims to the Forest Service. He could have had them to perpetuity. I mean, you know, his daughter could have had them and all that, and his sons. As for my grandparents' lease, that was a patented lease, which basically made that piece of ground private property. Okay, those leases don't exist anymore. They've all run out. They were a 100-year lease. Okay, I think it's a wonderful idea because we got some utilization, we're creating some jobs, we're creating food for America, and we're doing another aspect. The only problem we have in the Catalinas is on the north side.
Great.
We don't have the cowboys today
that
can handle that kind of terrain. Yeah, and that's a huge issue. What's the guy, the Dutchman that had Nelson, that had, you know, he owned a huge chunk of the Catalinas and all that. And my granddad contracted catching his remnants. He thought he had 30 head, and I've got a paper article. They took out over 350 heads. But what I'm saying is we don't have the cowboys today that can negotiate that terrain. And then the other issue with the recreation, if you fit, pardon me, the cattle to the terrain, they've got to be some pretty rough cows, if you will, some pretty what we'd call sooky cows, okay, that can get through the countryside there.
Yeah.
Well, with the people that are out backpacking and all that, these kind of cattle that fit that terrain get very territorial, and somebody's liable to get hooked. Okay,
and you can't fence off the area either because that just wouldn't work.
And you know,
go ahead.
Another on the same page too. Used to be a small degree of logging up there, and that happened over in Rio Doce. When I was a kid growing up, there were 3 sawmills in the area. There's none there today. Mm. Now the Apaches are going to open one up in Mescalero, but It's an income for the community. It's employment. It also helps keep the undergrowth down, because when they go in there and they log, they also have to brush. They just can't go in there. They've got to cut out.
When I was a child, and maybe you remember, Harry, Tony Zimmerman, that owned the lodge, had the logging concession on the north slope.
Right.
And we had a mill up there. And once he went out, they shut it down, and that was it.
David's other part of his question, would the city of Tucson allow the same thing on A Mountain 4 weeks prior to the annual 4th of July lighting of the mountain? And that, and he means grazing as opposed to anything else. And Todd, A Mountain here is it's a little hill, Sentinel Hill, and it was in the old days, there were lookouts up there and such, but and now every year they paint an A. The rocks are painted whitewashed A for the University of Arizona. Well, they fire off the fireworks celebration from A Mountain, and have been doing this for many years. And just about every year this happens, the damn mountain catches on fire. And
well, so, Harry, on my Facebook page, I posted, you know, it's an annual thing for it to burn. Yeah. And I said, okay, why don't they go in a month before with a couple of hundred head of goats and graze that puppy down?
Yeah.
And then, voila, problem
That's
solved.
That's a big business now.
I know it is. Especially over in Todd's part of the country.
The Navy in San Francisco.
The Navy in Key West at their naval base, believe it or not, there are some hills there. And these are man-made hills. And the Navy uses goats. And these are old-style mortar emplacements from the 1900s and Seacoast mortars and...
Ammo depots?
Yeah, kind of. But the goats are used to graze. Or they put the goats up there to graze the grass because you can't do a lawnmower up there. It's because of the grade.
Because like Joe said, with a mountain, there's not enough grazing up there to justify putting a cow up there, but putting a few head of goats up there, like you say.
Well, the fact remains is now we're into the 21st century with a savory program. And he's proved that you can graze it right down to the nubs, yep. And the regrowth is even better afterwards. Mm-hmm. But for that short span of time, send in a bunch of goats and sheep, get it grazed down. Yep. And, you know, I'd love to see an area. That would be fun.
Yeah.
And point out to the city of Tucson, let me put in a bunch of goats
mm-hmm.
and graze that down. And then when you set off your fireworks, let's see how the fire goes.
Yeah. Milk, cheese, and barbecue.
Yep. There you go. Hey, we got to go to another break.
Wait, hang on a minute. Let me find where I'm supposed to go here. There it is. All right, now we can go to the break. We'll be right back. Imus Wilkinson Investments, 777-1911, is a unique investment management firm. They pay little attention to where the market indicators are because smart investment management goes way beyond checking stock exchanges. They are very good at managing all types of investment based on client expectations. They build relationships, and they want clients, not customers. My family is proudly included among them, and they'll help you as they did us design a portfolio that achieves what you want when you need it. Imus Wilkinson Investments, they're really good at what they do. 777-1911.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at SOAZNewsX.com.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
And we're back.
What season was that bunker?
That's my favorite theme song.
I know. What season was that from?
That was from the pilot through every year.
No. The theme for the High Chaparral, which season was that one? They changed that. All four seasons had a different music. Same rhythm, but just a little bit different.
Well, you've got a more musical ear than I do, Harry. I never noticed a difference.
Okey
well,
doke.
He said, well, yeah, but come on. Now, cut him a little slack. We got a sheep herder from New Mexico. It's Basque, you know, Basque.
He might have fallen off a horse one too many times.
You know, if he didn't have his little flute thingy, I mean.
But I got paid.
Hey, there you go.
You got paid for falling off.
Yeah.
I got paid for staying on.
It was season four.
I made more money falling off than you made staying on.
Well, yeah, but I never got paid except my horse got paid.
Hey, I only tried to fall off when I got paid. There's a few freebies thrown through life there, you know.
You know, with staff,
somehow this is leading me to think of Lee Marvin's acceptance speech for his Oscar for Cat Ballou, and he said, there's a horse out in Hollywood that half of this statue belongs to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, a gray horse. Todd, yeah. I got a question. My favorite Western actor is Jimmy Stewart. Okay, I liked all of the work he did. I like how he portrayed, quote-unquote, as the cowboy being truly a gentleman all times. But he rode a sorrel horse with a star in his face. I think in every Western I've seen in the last 2 years, it's that same horse.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate that.
Well, so, you know, it's funny because, you know, Wayne liked a certain horse.
Like Don.
Cooper could care less. Of course, Gene, Roy, and Tom, and Buck, they all had the same horse. Bill Hart had the same horse. But, you know, Cooper was the only one who really didn't always have the same horse because a group of horses, because he was such a good rider that you could put him on anything you wanted.
McCrary was the same way.
It's funny you say that about Stewart, that you like him so much, because I kind of feel the same way, and I kind of, you know, Lou Wasserman, who ran Universal, was Jimmy Stewart's agent before he became the head of Universal, and it was his advice that made Stewart his real first chunk of serious money, which was he got him to take back end points on Winchester 73, which, if you think about it, in 54?
No, I think it's 51.
51?
Yeah, I think so.
He made almost $900,000 on that film in the back end of it. And he made a lot of other monies in his life, and he did some other things and investments in land and so on. But that picture really singularly made more money for him than any other film. And you know, he didn't really want to. He wanted to do the film. He didn't want to necessarily take that deal. But Wasserman had come up with a plan to combat John Wayne. He knew that he would never match John Wayne. He didn't have anybody that could match Wayne as the king. But he thought that then let's make another type of Western that is more popular or as popular that we come up with. So he put together, not in every film, but in many, Anthony Mann, who had been and still is one of the greatest film noir directors of all time, with Jimmy Stewart, because he said, I want to take those ugly, dirty stories of the human condition, the underbelly of humanity, and put them in the West and do a Western that's different than all the other Westerns. And if you think about it, the only Western that Wayne ever did that was like that is, in some ways, The Searchers. All the other characters were very noble and, you know, broad-shouldered, straight ahead, coming right at you, didn't mince words and so on. Whereas all of those Stewart Westerns, even when he's a gentleman, and that's why he's a gentleman, because the contrast of him being a gentleman in those films is so greatly spotlighted when he becomes the guy who is a gentleman who does not hesitate to fight fire with fire. In other words, become as ugly and dirty as the guy he's fighting, such as
the darkness.
Well, you touched
when he
the,
when he slams Dan Duryea's face into the bar and takes his arm around the back of him.
Yeah, that is the scene I was alluding to, right there. His body language, the facial expression.
Well, and his tone of his voice changes, and his eyes change.
Right.
And his temperament changes.
Todd, I have a question for you, because Harry and me were discussing this over breakfast like we do every Friday, and I kind of have a theory.
When I have to work.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have a theory. I think one of the reasons we've kind of lost the Western is because the emphasis on the horse, where the horse was kind of part of the story, you know, during the 30s, some of the horses were bigger stars than the cowboys that rode them. And I think if you look, when television came along, because of the size of the screen and the cost of doing it, all of a sudden the horses were just an incidental means of transportation. And I really think, you know, that the great horses and the movie horses like Dollar and some of the others, they in themselves, people knew the horses. They kind of, when they went to see a Jimmy Stewart, they wanted to see that horse, the same horse,
yeah,
because he was identified with it.
Yeah.
The same hat.
Well, yeah, Trigger and Champion and Bill Hart's Two Gun Bill's horse, and his dogs. Too. They were characters,
yeah.
Even those dogs were never in his films. But Prince and Gall, it's not Gal. Let me just say
one of the biggest stars Hollywood ever had, Rin Tin Tin.
And Harry's probably tired of hearing it, but it's not Gal. It's Gall.
Gall.
He named that dog, that female dog, after Gall, the Sioux chief. That's because he was raised... When his mother got so sick and his father moved them up to the Dakotas, and he was raised around the Lakota Sioux, the Oglala, the Yankton, the Brule, and so on, he learned how to speak Sioux, but he only knew how to speak female Sioux.
Yeah,
but
his sign language
that, he
is that
named
too.
That dog after Chief Gall. So it drives me crazy. I go to the Hart Museum, or I hear somebody talk about William S. Hart on television, and they always say, and his two dogs, Prince and Gal, he made beds for them. And I always scream at the television, Gall, Gall. But beyond that, all those horses, you're right, they all did have that. The other thing I would say is that Hollywood killed the Western. And the way they killed it is by having too many TV shows and also discounting. The other way they did it was, well, we got to come up with a new type of Western. So what we'll do here is we'll make the hero cool and funny and kind of sexy and so on and so forth. And I don't want to say that it's Maverick's fault, but they took the Maverick character and turned him into, they went much, much farther with him, and they also oversaturated the market. You know, if you think about 1959, 9 of the top 12 television shows on TV were Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
It's an oversaturation of the market. The public eventually went, we've had enough. You know, you if you serve peanut butter and jelly, people love it, but if you serve it for 3 months straight, they're going to throw it at you.
Well,
and
think about this, too.
Here.
10 years later, the top shows on television were the comedies that were rural. Green Acres, mm-hmm. Petticoat Junction, Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
So the market for the rural people was still there. Always
Hee-haw.
Was. Always
Hee-haw
still is today.
Yeah, still yeah. There. Hey.
Well, the rural common sense, the horse sense.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I bet it'd be a tough room for the four of us to get together and watch one Western, if we could even get through it without offering up our own comments about whatever Western it
no,
is that
the
we were watching.
No, the TV
that's
never survived.
The fun. That's
they started
it is.
Throwing stuff at the TV.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We or at yeah. one another.
Well, of course, there has to be liquor.
Well, of course.
So, you know,
goes without saying.
Which is a given.
Yeah.
We pick the liquor
be,
first
you know,
or the movie?
Screen for the television to protect it.
Todd will pick the liquor, and Bunker, you can pick the Western when we do this.
Oh, God.
All right. Then,
Buck Jones, here we go.
There, now we're talking. All right.
Guys, Todd, thank you so much. It has been
thank
a delight.
Thank you. Thank you, fellas.
When are you going to get back out to our country?
Yeah, when you coming out this way, buddy?
Well, you know, my mother keeps telling me that she deserves a road trip, and I said to her, and what are the qualifications of that? How do you earn that? I said, you just got yourself a brand new dog and a puppy, and, you know, but she keeps telling me how that she needs to go on a road trip. So I've been thinking about going to through Phoenix, Scottsdale, Tucson, Prescott, and so on, kind of a loop. Maybe after the things start to die down heat-wise, I think I could come out. I think I'm in the mood. Well, I've always said I'd do this, and I think finally I will do it now, is do an in-studio show.
Hey, we would love that.
We would love that. Yeah, and I don't make this offer to just anybody. I'm going to invite you to go elk hunting with me, buddy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh. Now, I'll tell you.
Are we talking bird hunting, or are we talking four-legged quadruped?
Elk.
Oh, but you see, this is you're feeding a monster that doesn't understand the word no. So,
promise your mom you'll take garbage out
stolen.
For a month. She'll say
my
yes.
My elk rack was stolen, and as were all my Buck Taylor art and all my gun leather and all that was stolen. So I need to replace my elk rack.
There you go. All right.
All right. Well, thanks for being on, ladies and gentlemen. Be kind to one another. And we'll see you next week.
Happy trails.
Happy trails.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the West.